Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, and so I also am at work." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will also do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. He will show him greater works than these so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. From Monday of the fourth week of Lent through Tuesday of Holy Week, the Church has us ponder the Gospel of St. John. The last 2 days in the scene of the healing of the man crippled for 38 years was the easiest, because there's more or less facts that we could then interpret, until Tuesday of Holy Week. We're now going to have some of John's great recorded discourses of Jesus, and they're very deep and interconnected, and we could preach retreats on any of them. So we're going to parse what he says. But there are two great thoughts that we should have in order to have proper ears to hear. First is the whole purpose of Jesus' life, the whole purpose of Lent, is to reveal the Father and to help us to experience divine filiation, the full outpouring of the Father's love. From Ash Wednesday on, this is what the Church ponders, that we pray in order to have that intimate conversation with the Father, that we fast in order to hunger for what the Father starves for, that we give alms in order to share his providence. The second great prism is how God restores us to our divine filiation, which is through baptism, which is the focus of these middle weeks of Lent. At Jesus' baptism, God the Father thundered, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Baptism makes us sons of God. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, he entered into that first Lent, which he was driven out into the desert for 40 days. And at the very end of that, how'd Satan try to tempt him? Tried to tempt him by distorting that divine filiation. If you are the Son of God, then sin and presumptuously tempt the Father by tossing yourself off from this pinnacle. And the remedy for us in growing in our baptismal graces, as we pondered a little bit yesterday with Ezekiel, is through listening to Jesus, what God the Father told us on the second Sunday of Lent. "This is my Son, my beloved, listen to him." Especially listen about the means by which he will make you sons in the Son, by following him all the way through Calvary to my eternal right. So knowing these three things, how Jesus wants to reveal the Father and restore us to our relationship with the Father, we can dive into this dialogue in St. John's Gospel. Jesus reveals three things about the Father, about himself, and about us today. Three great things. First is what he says at the beginning. "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." The Father's constantly at work. What's his work? Loving us. Everything is a sign of that love of the Father. And that's why Jesus was constantly working even on the Sabbath. The Pharisees had made an idol of the Sabbath, where they refused to do any work, including the work of love, as if what God really wanted from them on the day that was called the Lord's was for them not to care for others. Jesus was essentially killed by revealing the true meaning of the Sabbath, that on the Sabbath, God does not rest from loving, but that the Sabbath is ultimately to restore the human person, precisely by giving us the opportunity to love God as he deserves to be loved, and to love others as he loves them and loves us. The Sabbath is ultimately supposed to be a day of freedom so that we can love and become more and more God's divine image. Second great thing that Jesus... on that point, before we go on, in the prophet Isaiah today, at the very end of that passage, it reveals an aspect of God's love. God's love is complete. So there's a masculine dimension to it. We call that hesed, his faithfulness. He will never, ever, 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 ever stop loving us. But there's also a maternal dimension to his love. It's today, rahamim. And it's compared to the love of a mom for a baby. Could a mom ever forget to love the baby at her breast? We live in an age in which, in order to corrupt our awareness of God's love, the devil tries to attack that maternal love. And in the culture of death, that's its start. And we know that sometimes moms can forget to love their babies, tempted by the Lord. Jesus wants to restore that type of love and says that even if a mom could forget to love her baby nursing at the breast, I will never stop loving you. Do you know what the verse after that is? We don't get it in the liturgy, unfortunately. But Pope Francis always likes to preach on it. The exact next verse is, "I've tattooed you in my hands. My entire work of loving you, I have you tattooed in my hands." 6 weeks ago, when I was with when I was in Rome and went to the audience with Pope Francis, along with the pilgrims, he preached specifically about the love of God using Isaiah 49, and he pondered in this age of tattoos what it means that God has written us indelibly in his hands. He'll never be able to forget us because he'll never be able to forget himself. That's the first work of God. the work of love, not just loving the human race, but loving you and me. Second work, Jesus describes here, is to give life. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. The hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he also gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. Many of the early fathers of the church focused on how Jesus not only was the Son of God, but the image of the Father. And as the image of the Father, Jesus emulated the Father's fatherhood precisely in the capacity to give life as dads have. The fullness of that capacity was transmitted to the Son, and the Son gives us that life. That just as the Father's work is life-giving, so Jesus' work is life-giving. He's constantly seeking to bring us to have life to the full. He does that principally through prayer, the sacraments, and charity. That's his work. He's working when we come to pray. It's not principally our work, it's his. He's working in the sacraments. Continues to work out the meaning of our baptism. Continues to work in the sacrament of confirmation, the seals that we've received. He works in the confessional. He works at Mass. He works through holy orders. Today, I thank God that 27 years ago, he gave me definitively the vocation to be a priest on April 3rd. God continues to work. He works through charity. He gives us an opportunity to love. And when we love others, we're not merely loving them with a human heart. He's loving through us. What an extraordinary thing it is to cooperate with the love of God in exercising this type of charity. The third aspect of the Father that Jesus reveals today has to do with judgment. Judgment is a scary word sometimes for us, especially if we begin with the psychology that we're a failure. If we begin with what we're doing wrong rather than how we're in alignment. If we've been raised in certain environments in which there was such a focus on improving and remedying imperfections and wrongs that we focus first on what we're not doing than on what God is doing and helping us to do well. Jesus says, the Father has given the Son power to exercise judgment because he is the Son of Man. We will be raised to the judgment of life or the judgment of condemnation. But he doesn't do this solo. He says, I don't do anything on my own. I judge as I hear. And my judgment is just because he's seeking the Father's will. Ultimately, Jesus' judgment is a judgment of salvation. He's coming to be able to bathe us in his own justice. And our whole, in the whole meaning of our life, the work that the Father wants to do in us is to help us to correspond fully to that work of justification. So the judgment is going to be the pronouncement that we are Christ, that we belong to him, that we are not our own, that we have sought with his help to do his will, to hallow his name, to enter into his kingdom and bring others. That's the judgment of the sheep, who are the ones who seek together with the Lord to love him in disguise. These three great works are all works of mercy, because God is gracious and merciful as we prayed in the responsorial psalm. And the nexus where this work of Jesus occurs is here at Mass. How much work Jesus is doing of sanctification right here. He's giving us his own life within us to bring us fully to life. If we receive him well here, we're already anticipating our judgment. That's why we should never receive him unworthily. But this is the bread of life, and he'll take up that same expression in John 6, just as the Father is life and I have life because of the Father, so the one who eats my flesh will have life because of me. Jesus comes to give us that life and to keep us always together with him so that we will always be on that path to his right side. My Father is at work until now, and so I am at work. We say to Jesus, thy work be done.